Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 108. My name is Christopher Akio. I'm here with Jeff Torney.
What up, guys?
And Travis Baum.
Hi.
Normal crew, 2 weeks in a row. I think that might be a record.
I have a commitment. Like, we will never miss a show again. There it is. Never.
Oh, yeah, really?
We're going on.
Bet on that?
Going on strong.
going on record.
What are we betting on? What are we betting on?
There's no bet.
Don't we have a poll?
This is just our dedication to this program. This is our responsibility to the listeners. We're never missing another show again.
All right, I'm putting this out there right now to listeners. We're going to start doing a Travis misses a show pool. Everyone just pick a date.
That's right. Pick a date.
Between now and, like, say, March.
Pick an episode number. How about that?
Pick an episode number.
Do it that way. Pick an episode number.
Whoever wins the closest gets a prize.
That's right.
I'm totally serious.
We're going to get
20 emails next week with that shit, too. All right, today we are going to talk about developers getting a free pass with, like, bugs and undeveloped gameplay and shit like that. Yeah. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news, and after, we will do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, I'm going to swing it over to Jeff and say, Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening? Not much, man. It's coming that time of season. The whole Christmas stuff. I need to get on that.
Christmas confuses me a little bit, because, like, this is supposed to be a time of cheer, reflection.
It is when you're,
and calming.
Seven.
No, but, like, that's all bullshit because, like, people are so wound tight in.
It's the most depressing time of the year.
Oh, it's horrible.
Like, I don't think it's depressing. But... I just.
No, I mean, like, it's.
Oh, you mean statistically?
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
okay. Yeah.
People get really.
Yeah, people are just really clammy and grouchy. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't like going to malls and shit anymore, like, this time of year. It's, like, I don't know. Lots of people everywhere. Everything you want to get's, like, sold out, no matter how crappy it is.
Yeah, I just shop online. It's
yeah,
just easier.
That's what I try to do. But I just try to avoid malls. Maybe go to, like, strip malls and stuff, or, like, down the main streets of Toronto.
I thought you were going to say strip clubs. I just go to strip clubs instead of going
shopping.
Yeah,
I just go to strip clubs. You know, I get gift certificates.
It's like, fuck using my money to buy gifts. I'll just, you know, I'm giving a gift to a stripper. Here you go. Here's $1.
It's some low to mild stripping.
Nothing that they love you than a lot of dance from candy. So that's what I'm going to do.
That's
love
awesome.
You, Dad. That's it, man. Just getting ready for that. Works, to, you know, kind of slowing down because no one really buys houses in December. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, Travis, what's up with you, man?
Not much, man. Got really, really sick. It's so ironic that, you know, we were having a discussion last week how I want to feel better. And I dedicated that to myself after that show. And I start, you know, that next day, you know, didn't smoke. I was just having, you know, I made myself really, really healthy food for the next day. And I got violently ill, actually. I hadn't even talked to you guys about this and everything. So I went to an urgent care. I don't know if you have that in Canada. We still have to pay for it. It sucks.
Yeah,
but regardless,
it's free.
I had like some really, really bad problems. I had like an upper intestinal infection and there was like swelling in my intestine. So like food would not finish the digestive
like pooping
job.
Like bites of hamburgers.
The job of my intestines, they were failing. They were lazy.
This
and weren't working.
This is awesome conversation for a video game podcast.
I know, right?
Just saying.
Right? So... So they gave
me, like, my son has the stomach flu. How about that?
Well, it was crazy because they gave me like this, this
enema.
Well, it's a powder, and you mix it up with water, and it has like antibiotics and a steroid in it. So I was
trying to lift cars.
When you mix it with water, it makes like this sludge. It's really, really gross. When you mix it with water, it makes this really, real nasty sludge. And I've been having to drink that like 3 days in a row, twice a day, and
gross.
It is god awful. It's like drinking vomit.
Does it taste like anything?
Yeah, it tastes like vomit. that was kept in the
fridge.
Don't
even finish. Don't even finish that sentence. That's
we
fine.
Can just yeah. We can move to the. You weren't feeling well. Now you're doing better. Let's move on.
I had a really great metaphor too, and you just killed it. But regardless,
I'm sorry.
You can still do the metaphor, but just nothing gross.
Yeah. So I've been drinking this stuff, and it's not working. And they said, okay, if you still can't go, because I haven't been able to go to the bathroom, because like there's no digestive tract.
See, now we're going too far here.
This is shit that should be on Growing Up, yo.
That's true. That's true. I'll save this story for Epi 1.
All right. Okay. Write that down.
So anyway, yeah, that's it.
You're feeling better. Are you feeling better?
Okay. I'm still not 100%, but I was actually able to go to work and not like want to cry all day. It was a good day today. I didn't have to cry. It was pretty nice. But overall, you know, aside from feeling like crap, I was able to get a lot of gaming time in, so that's good. So
that
before
is good.
We talk
that
about
is
said
good.
Gaming time, Chris. Scoops.
I am looking forward to said gaming time.
Tell us about your
bowel
movements.
Tell us about your pooping
struggles.
You want me to tell you about my sons? Because that's
no,
the news.
That's fine.
No, we're not going to do that.
This is about you, Chris. We don't want to hear about your kid. It's about you.
Thanks, douche.
Stop being selfless, jerk.
So first, I want to say that you know, I was on Gamers Only Older last week, and I made a mistake. I said episode 95. It was actually episode 94.
Oh.
My bad. I just said it wrong. So look for that. We had a good time recording. Besides that, you know, it's been normal shit, you know, working. Liam is actually not feeling well. So that's been, you know, rough this week. But besides that, playing some games, getting ready for, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for the VGAs this weekend. We still haven't decided that. Did Industream. That happened. And, you know, that's pretty much it. You know,
cool.
Living life.
What do you play on the Industream? Zelda?
Zelda and some more Saints Row. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. So let's move into games. And who wants to start this week?
Travis, because you said you didn't.
Travis,
play
you start this week.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to give a quick shout out to Mark Sanger, Savory Cade on the Twitters. I forgot how the conversation started. Oh, actually, it originated the interest to Xenoblade Chronicles. Originated from Phil Kohler on Twitter from Game Informer. He was just ranting and raving about how great this game was. And it was always on my radar, but it was always on my radar on the point where it was kind of one of those games where I didn't really know much about it, but I wanted it because at the time it was only available in Japan and there was no... At that time there was no hope, you know, a couple of months ago of this game ever coming to the States. Well, it came to Europe and, you know, Kohler got his hands on it. And he's playing it around. He was like, this is great. This is a fantastic game. So my interest was, I publicly stated on Twitter that I need to look into getting this game. And, Mark, you know, contacted me on Twitter and said, hey, I got this. Would you want, you know, me to send it to you, you know, for, you know, a price? He named his price. I picked it up. He shipped it over to me promptly too. Like he shipped it on a Saturday. I got it Monday. So, I mean, that was awesome. So I pick up the game. I looked at some, okay, hacking a Wii. It's not
super easy.
Okay, it's not difficult to do.
Interactive Distractions doesn't condone the hacking or dismembering of any.
Well, I condone hacking if you're not going to like pirate games. Like I paid for it.
I see what you're doing for imports.
Yeah, for imports. I
second that motion.
There's a section in the
that is okay.
In the hacking during like the checklist of what you're doing, one of the programs actually asks you, A, are you doing this to play import games, or B, are you doing this to pirate games? And if you hit A, it says, oh, you're one of the good ones. If you hit B, I'm sure they berate you and say, wow, you are a douchebag. We'll continue anyway. So after some, like I said, it's easy to do when you go step by step, but like certain directions, like some people just kind of go off in left field. Like some of the directions seem like it's not as straightforward as it seems, or they're not good at giving directions. And some people are so in depth. It makes it confusing. So, like, I had to go, like, to, like, two or three different sites and everything and
hacking
go to each
dummies.
Step. I'm going to tell you what.
I need the same thing.
It's easy, but it's a pain in the ass and it's stressful. I think it took me about two and a half hours, and I didn't have a good time doing it, but I can't say it was hard, if that makes any sense. So, but anyway, I finally got it to work, popped the game
in.
So
what you're saying is it was tedious.
Very tedious. Super tedious. So, anyway, pop the game in, start playing, and... so far, I'm about 8 hours in, not too far into it. Loving the game so far.
So what type of game is this anyway?
Okay, well, it's a JRPG. That's how the genre is going to be put on there. But, it's a, action JRPG in terms of the combat, I guess you can say. It is still kind of timing based. I'll be honest with you, at its core, combat wise, it plays like an MMO. You for the most part of my storyline, I've had a guy who's obviously a tank. He carries a big weapon that's like a shield and a blade kind of mixed together. He has all the best armor for absorbing damage. He has all the special powers to absorb damage. So, I mean, he's obviously a tank. During the tutorials, you know, the tutorials actually refer to him as a tank. They talk about him, you know, getting aggro, you know, maintaining aggro on him so other people can dish out the damage. I mean, they actually sit there and specifically name, you know, MMO type conventions. And it's interesting because, you know, the parts about World of Warcraft that got me, like, so started to get me addicted to it before I said, okay, I got to quit, was the combat. I just had fun, you know, picking and choosing the timing of doing your special moves and everything and when and where to
roll
do
them.
All that stuff is there. You know, it plays just like an MMO. Even when you start building up your special abilities, they're right there on the bottom of the screen as hotkeys.
When you say MMO, though, is that so it's basically click and wait? Or
it's click and wait, but there's a lot of strategy.
Chaining and stuff.
A lot of chaining, a lot of strategy. To give you an example, the main weapon in the game that you get called the Monado, it gives you the ability to see the future. And they use it in a story thing where, you know, you'll see the future and it's like, oh my God, we gotta stop the future. But they also actually take, the seeing things in the future and, you know, they apply that to the combat. So you'll be in the middle of combat doing your basic combat. Like I said, it's like an MMO. But they tweak those conventions by, you know, the screen will flash and go into black and white, and it'll show the monster, whether it's a boss or whatever, and they will, you know, do this main attack, and it'll kill you. It'll actually show the amount of damage that it does on the screen, and it kills you and knocks you on your back, and it's like, wow, okay, this is probably going to be a one-hit kill. It says it's going to take 2,000 damage, and I only have 1,700 hit points, so yeah, this is going to kill me. When that happens, after you see that future, the screen goes back into color, and then at the top there's a timer, and it shows a picture of the monster, the move it's using, and it shows a picture of you saying it's aiming at you, just like the vision showed you. And then there's a timer at the bottom, and it's slowly ticking down, and that's when they're going to use it to do that move to kill you, like the future had told. So you actually have to go around, either stop them yourself with your special abilities. Or you can actually, if you have some ability points left over, you can actually run to one of your characters. Like, you can run over to the tank, and you can talk to him in the mid-battle, and you can tell him that, okay, you need to pull aggro right now because you have the defense to take that hit, and I don't. So basically, you go him, you tell him to take the aggro, and he does that. And so when the monster does the hit, it doesn't kill you. It hits him, and it barely takes any damage because he's ready to defend the attack. So they do a lot of cool strategy things there that I have never seen in a video game before. It's really, really cool.
That's a very interesting fight mechanic.
It's awesome. I love it. And they even do it with smaller characters. Even like sub bosses or even, you know, random, you know, tough enemies, but not bosses at all. They'll still throw that in there with them and everything just to keep it, you know, keep these day to day fights, you know, kind of fresh. The regular game, and again, focusing more on MMOs, but, it kind of reminded me of a little bit of what was a 2D MMO we played all the time, Chris? Dungeon Fighter.
Dungeon Fighter?
Yeah. There's a lot of Dungeon Fighter in there too, because you're constantly collecting quests and everything. And there's a lot of quests, like, you know, there's a lot of this, okay? But, you know, go fight, you know, four enemies, go fight five enemies. Go collect, 6 of these items and everything and bring them, and, you know.
Go shut up a barking dog.
Yeah, thanks. there's a lot of those quests. Very, very MMO-like quests. But like Dungeon Fighter, when you go and do those quests, once you complete it, even if you're out in the wild doing it, once you get those items, it says quest complete. You don't have to go back to that person. It just completes your quest. It gives you your items, gives you your experience, gives you your money, and you can go off and do whatever you want.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah, it streamlines it and everything. So they what's up?
I want to ask a question, though, back, you barely took a breath, but when you're talking about the whole, like, gain aggro thing.
Right.
What's, like, how is it done? You say you have to tell the dude, like, hey, you take the aggro. What does it do differently that's opposed to, like, a regular RPG where you just, like, select that character and have him do, like, a shout or, like, a roar or something to gain aggro? Like, is an actual, does he actually walk over and be like, hey, tap on the shoulder, dude, take aggro, or is it?
Well, what happens is, in the combat, you can actually move around. It's like a mixture. I was reading up on, you know, about White Knight Chronicles because I was seeing a lot of, similarities to that when people were talking about it. Hmm. So there's a lot of similarities to that, but there's also a lot of similarities to Final Fantasy XII where it's, the active time battle. You attack when, you know, the game lets you attack, but you can still move around.
Okay.
It's very much like that, but in Final Fantasy XII, there wasn't much of a point to move around. In this game, there is, because some of your special attacks and everything that you have at your bottom bar that you want to, you know, pick and choose what you want to attack at that point, some are for backstabs, some you have to attack from the side.
Okay, it's kind of like even like a Dragon Age kind of thing.
Yeah, very much. Exactly like Dragon Age. Yeah, I forgot about that. And there's a lot of that. you know, so, and basically with the, so since you can move around when you see the future, you actually have to walk around the battle and go to that character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll tell you to press the B button on the classic controller, to talk to him. And what happens is, it isn't like no talking thing. What happens is, it brings you to, it momentarily, puts you in that character's place. So you're controlling that character for 1 minute.
Okay.
So it pauses the game completely and it puts you in their menu. Right
and
behind
you basically
them.
Select the ability.
And you select the ability that they want.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like it a lot. The storyline's great. The storyline is really, really good so far. Just to give
it's
you
like
a
Sakaguchi, right?
No, this is the guy who did, believe it or not, Xenogears. Xenogears
oh, really?
And the
okay.
Xenosaga series. Xenosaga? Yeah. Yeah, he was the guy from Monolith who did,
So is there a shit ton of, like, cutscenes?
There is, but they're not nearly as long as, so far, not Xenosaga. Nearly as long as Xenogears was famous for.
Mm-hmm.
But to give you a quick gist, to give you an insight, because this is the first intro movie and everything, what happens. So basically, there are these two titans, one called Bionis and one called like Minosis or something like that. Two huge, huge iron, like robotic giants. And they've been fighting for eons. Well, anyway, they both kill each other mid battle. And then they just kind of like just stand there, like running each other through for like, you know, millions and millions of years. Well, they've been there so long that, you know, plant life and everything started growing on top of them and everything. So the world that you're roaming on are these two huge robot giants, you know, and you're very aware of the fact because, like, even in the, like, looking out, you know, into the sky, you can see the shadow or the hulking figure of the opposite giant on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're walking around, it's like, hey, we're going up the Bionis' knee right now. Or, you know, have we made it to the ankle and stuff like that? So, like, they're very well aware of the world they live on. And it's really, really clever. And it kind of makes more sense that, you know, the bad guys, the robotic bad guys are coming from the other Titan. So, you know, that they're invading, you know, your home Titan. It's a pretty interesting.
It's
yeah, it's very different. And talking about those worlds and, like, you know, you can see stuff from far away. Okay, this game is on the Wii. I got to say, this is easily the best looking game on the Wii. It's gorgeous. I mean, you can definitely tell it's a game that would look probably the same on the PS2. So, I mean, it's the Wii. But
yeah.
A lot of the
art style does look kind of cool.
The art style is cool. One of the things that I've always hated about the Wii was textures. I just can't stand the textures.
They're pretty
actually. They're right on, man. They are dead on with the textures in this game.
Hmm.
Mountains look good. The ground looks good. Trees look good. Water looks good. They did a really good job with the environment and the way the world looks. The characters and, like, you know, the voice acting mixing with the audio mixing with, like, the way their lips are moving, that's way off and everything. But, I mean, that's kind of forgivable when you're still looking at you're watching a really...
It's like translation, too, right?
The translation,
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's all voiced. Okay. And the voicing's great because they actually... hired a whole bunch of European and British actors to do it. Mm-hmm. So you know how, like, it was really, really catchy in the later PS2, like, Dragon Quest games where everybody was all British and very foppish?
I never played one.
Really?
No.
Chris, you played Dragon Quest, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, yeah. So everybody's, like, all British and everything. It's the same thing here. So I don't know. There's a sense of authenticity with this world, I guess, with them all having accents that, you know, we don't get to hear on a day-to-day basis. And I, for one, hate, like, American English voiceovers in a JRPG. Like, usually. Like, Final Fantasy X, I think that's the worst part of Final Fantasy X, was the majority of the voice acting. In Final Fantasy XII, I think the best voice acting came from the people who were British or not, you know, didn't have an obvious American accent.
What Dragon Quest did you play that had voice acting, though?
It was Dragon Quest, the PS2 one.
Dragon Quest
IX? I don't think that had voice
acting. No, 7. Yeah, it did.
7?
Because he was all... Because the main guy called you Gov. He's like, hey, Gov, come here. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was your guy with the red bandana. You had to pull the guy who said... The little green guy. You were walking around in a carriage. The little green guy, he said he was a king, and his daughter was the
horse.
Right,
that was 8.
That was 8.
That was 8
yeah.
on PS2.
Yeah, it was full voice acting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do I not remember the voice acting? I guess it wasn't... It didn't leave too much of an impression on me, I guess.
But the voice acting's fantastic. But overall, the game's great. I'm only 8 hours in, but I'm enjoying every single second. I mean, these boss fights are tough. Like, it's going to take some trial and error on that. But the cool thing is, there is, it's fully, like the check, well, it's fully checkpointed. Like, if you die, they'll put you right back.
It doesn't put you back like an hour.
No, they don't at all. Like, you're constantly being checkpointed. Like, every single town has like 8 or 9 landmarks. And every time you go to a landmark, not only do you get, experience for locating these landmarks, you also, if you happen to die after you pass a landmark, you actually get left back of that last landmark.
That's cool.
With all your items, with all your gold, you don't lose anything. You don't lose that, you know, all that playthrough. You actually keep all that stuff. So, oh, I got this item and I just died. Well, it's fine. You got the item. You're good. So it's pretty lenient. There's no punishment. You know, that's so cool. If I die,
sounds like my kind of RPG.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, oh, I died. Oh, well, I'll go back in and see if I can beat them again. So,
speaking of, might as well mention it now because you're talking about it. But as it's coming to US now, it's coming to North America.
Yeah.
In April next year.
Guys, get that game. It is awesome.
Yep.
So, but anyway, that's pretty much it.
Even
for
if
me.
I don't get to play it, I'll buy it.
Yeah, well, I'll try.
I haven't played my Wii in a while. It sounds more interesting to me than the Zelda game does, to be honest. Nothing against Zelda, but.
Yeah, I haven't touched Zelda since the last time we talked about it.
Yeah, we kind of figured.
I did.
Yeah. So let's talk about that and everything like that. So what else have you guys been playing? Because literally Xenoblade has been my life this whole week.
All right, well, Jeff, what why don't you go ahead?
Well, besides of course Skyrim, I'm still sticking to that. I'm probably about 50 hours now. Not much to really add except Travis, you're totally right. Like when you mentioned how when you downloaded the patch and you thought it got worse, like the textures. Right away, when I started noticing that too, I'm like, holy shit, it is worse. But I didn't install it on the hard drive, so I went and installed it on the hard drive, and it immediately got better.
Oh,
so it's
kind of
like, it seemed to me like the problem reversed. So it's like, if you have it installed now, looks great.
Maybe I should, okay, so here's what I did. I actually deleted the install file. I haven't downloaded the patch yet. I deleted the install file.
That's what
I didn't notice any difference in the visuals. However, I did notice a difference in the performance of the game.
Oh yeah, me too. I know it definitely took longer to load, and there's more hiccups while walking around and stuff. It would like take a second to load or something.
It loads a lot better when it's on the hard drive.
Oh yes. So, but I was noticing.
I'm gonna put it back on the hard drive. I think so.
I think you should, because I was seeing kind of like texture issues mostly in wide open areas. It might have just been in my head because maybe Travis planted that seed. But I was like, okay, well I'm gonna install it now because I do have the patch and try it. It seemed to clear up, but I should probably go back to the same area I was before to see if it looks the same or not. But
does the resistances issue have any effect? Have you noticed?
I honestly don't know.
I haven't seen anything.
It's hard to tell because it's percentage, right? So I don't know how.
Yeah. I'm an Imperial. I get every disease. So like,
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't gotten it. The only disease I have, obviously, is the lichen, but that's like not technically a disease. So
maybe I'll download the patch then.
Yeah,
I'll install it on the hard drive and download the patch.
And I haven't seen a backwards flying dragon yet. It's like I haven't seen any of the new things that apparently it's done. So
I'm looking forward to the backwards flying dragon.
I want to see
if
one.
The backwards flying dragon shoots fire out of his tail. Out of his ass.
Apparently they don't do anything. They just kind of fly backwards and they can't do anything.
Dude, I've had two dragons run away from me.
That's pretty cool.
No, it's not, because I want to fucking
kill
them.
Well, you want to kill them, yeah. They're probably running away though because they see someone else that's drawing aggro and attacking it. That's what I've kind of seen. Yeah. Like, I'll just chase it, and I'll say, oh, now we're fighting a bunch of, like, hunters or something, or whatever. But I'm actually mad, because I literally haven't seen a random dragon in easily about 20 hours of game time, maybe even 25.
Wow. You're supposed to see them more often when you level up, right?
I'll see them, like, in the distance, and I'll be like, I'm going to go kill them, so I'll do that. Or I'll see one that's, like, when it comes up in your map, where it's a dragon stone, and I'll fight those ones. But an actual, like, random one
random
just walking
dragon.
Around... And at first, I'll be honest, like, I was kind of going, like, I was just doing missions. I'd be like, do my missions. If the place is really far, I'd fast travel, walk partly back, and then fast travel. So, like, you know what, I'm going to start walking everywhere. At least, if somewhere I haven't been, I'll walk there and then fast travel back, and still, nothing. I'm like, what the hell? I want to fight more dragons. I haven't killed enough. I want some more shouts. But yeah, I don't want to go too much.
I don't want to go into too much detail either, but I did get my, my smithing. Up to into the 80s. I think it's like 84 right now.
Ebony armor.
I can do, well, I don't do anything heavy. Everything I'm doing
Ebony's
is light armor. Is it?
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's light.
No, which Ebony's is better, heavy. Ebony or glass?
Oh, Ebony's, I think glass is the equivalent to Ebony. Glass is actually, okay. Are they both 80?
Glass is 70.
Is it 70?
I've
made
Ebony is 80.
If Ebony is heavy, then I won't even bother using it.
Yeah, I didn't even bother going that route. Instead of going that route, I started putting perks into light armor,
okay.
which has
yeah.
generated a ton of extra AR. So I've got
sure.
like I now have like I get 40% bonus from, you know, putting 2 points into the first perk, mm-hmm. and then I get another 25% base because I wear all
full
light.
Set.
Yeah. So as soon as it gets to 70, I can get the which is going to be a while. I can get the other one, which like if you're wearing all of the
first
same
you get to 70, what 70?
Your light armor skill gets to 70.
Oh, okay.
There's
yeah.
there's a perk for if you're wearing the same set, you get another 25% bonus.
Yeah, yeah. That's
but
true.
I'm wearing all glass armor right now. I think two pieces are epic and two pieces are legendary.
See, how did you get the epic ones? Can you make them?
No, it's an improvement.
Yeah, I know.
I improved them to epic.
So how did you do
epic
that?
Epic is below legendary. Epic
oh,
is
it's
below legendary.
Legendary. Yeah. Okay.
Epic is one below legendary.
Oh, so what probably happened was I probably didn't bother upgrading until I got my thing to 100 after certain points. I probably just skipped epic and went right to legendary.
Yeah, that might be what happened.
Okay.
That yeah, it goes sense. It goes exquisite, epic, and then legendary.
Well, flawless is in there too.
Yeah, exquisite, flawless,
epic,
and then epic.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
so I have sense. I have these gauntlets that give me a plus 20% to smithing. So I wear those when I improve.
Yeah, to give you a little
my
more.
My armor to get the bonus. But I keep running out of money because it's so fucking expensive.
That's
to
the thing.
Do
well,
smithing,
once I got the armor, like to be honest, like once I got my dragon armor and my nightingale armor from like doing quests. I kind of yeah. stick to those two. Nightingale, basically just because it looks so badass, even though I play mostly in third or first person. But then I started just saving my money. So I'm like, you know what? I have, like, the weapons I have are all at legendary, and the armor I have is pretty beefed up. So I'm just going to stick with this and just
yeah.
save money. I'm trying to buy, because you can buy, apparently some of the better houses you can buy, you can actually display your armor on mannequins, and that's really cool. That's what I want.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, because I know it
I've
sounds
sold
dumb,
all mine.
But it's like,
no, that's
you
awesome.
I've sold all mine.
Oh, did you really?
I might, maybe I'll display the glass armor. The glass armor's pretty hot.
Have you guys figured out how to, like, display your weapons and swords you have on the wall?
Well, no, but that's another thing you can do. Like, apparently, depending on, like, your place, because I only have the house on Whiterun, but I saw people yesterday that the one in Markov, I think, or something like that, is supposed to be, like, a big place. You have, like, armor and armor, like, mannequin-type things. You put all your sets of armor on it and weapon racks and stuff like that, so you can put your weapons in there.
Nice.
And that sounds pretty damn cool, because that's what I want. Like, I have a set of, like, so many armor just to have the whole set, like even dumbass armor that's like stupid.
Right.
So
I have a whole set of studded armor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it'd just be cool. It's like Fable when you collect all the different things and you walk into your thing and you got everything, like, I'm just gonna wear this one for today. But I mean
I had an awesome sniper note moment.
Oh yeah?
One of the companion quests that tells you to go and get this fragment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
It's like the second to last one, I think it is, because I'm actually on the last one, I think.
There's more
right now.
Are you getting the second to last one of the main...
Of the companion quests.
Well, it's hard to tell where you are, because usually there's like an end to it where you get an achievement, and then you can still do other quests that get you other stuff, and then it finally completes the end of that. So, like, are you going
I'm about to go chop off some heads. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. The mission before that, I went to a tower, and... It wasn't a tower. It was like a fort,
yeah,
or whatever.
Okay.
It was one of the mines that you
go to. Yeah, that you go up to.
And so I'm going in, and you actually go down a mountain right before, and it's like at the base of a mountain.
Okay.
And I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, well, I know there's going to be guys down there. And I saw, like, off on the side of the mountain, there was, like, this little ledge out on the side of the mountain. So I, like, went around the mountain and went down to the ledge and just started using my zoom in with the time slowdown on the archery. And I was sneaking the whole time, picked off like four guys. They never saw me, and my sneak went up two levels while I was doing it. It was awesome, because it was like they just could not find me. So my arrows were just coming down the mountain and just like pinging guys off. It was awesome.
You got to check out some videos on YouTube, whatever, like these kind of trick shot videos. Have you guys seen any of these?
No, I haven't.
No.
Like a guy will take an arrow, shoot it up in the air, fast travel to like a town, go sit on like a ledge or whatever, and then the NPC in front of him, all of a sudden the arrow goes poof, right in his head, drops dead. or someone will aim at like a town, shoot their arrow, fast travel to that town, like run, and then there's a like a random dude standing there that gets like an arrow in the face. And this is like, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say there's like this little watchtower outside of Whiterun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like just north of it. So I went out to this watchtower, and I went out there, and I just talked to the guard. All of a sudden, some bandits attacked, and one like hid down behind a rock. And I did the whole zoom in and time slow down thing.
Yeah.
And I fire my arrow, and it hits him and kills him, which I expected because I'm sporting this like elven bow of thunderbolts or something like that. So it's just ridiculous. I one shot pretty much anything if I sneak attack it.
Oh yeah.
So I walk over there to loot the body, and I shit you not, I wish I could have taken a screenshot of this. The arrow was literally white right between his eyes.
Nice.
Oh, I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, sometimes you get them right at the perfect spot and everything. Just talking about that trick shot stuff, I just got this really, really crazy idea of like some like 90s McDonald's commercial with like Larry Bird and Michael Jordan.
Oh, when they do
being like, okay, we're gonna do it. I'm gonna shoot my arrow off of High Hothgar through the
past Dragon's Reach,
Markov, right past Dragon's Reach, nothing but net, and by net I mean Lydia's throat.
Poor. But yeah.
Anyway, what else you playing, Jeff?
Got Rayman. I guess I got that last week, but I didn't get a chance to open it. I am really liking it, man. This is one of my favorite platformers I've played in years. It's really good. Like, it looks amazing. The music is awesome. Like, it's so catchy. The characters are great. They're just very, like, I don't know, like, full of, like, whimsy. It's like, they're just so, like, I don't know, happy and, like, it's just a lot of fun to play, and it's, like, it's very well paced, because it's basically, there's five major, I guess, environments, and then you complete each five of those, and then you gotta complete all the five again, but this time there's gonna be a boss at the end of each one. But they're not the same stages you played in those environments before, so they're pretty much brand new levels, the same looking environments.
So it's at night now?
No, it's not at all, yes. Yeah, no, it's more elaborate than that. They're like brand new levels. But they have, it's just the first time you go through it, there'll be some hard parts. Like, you'll die a few times, and you'll have to get used to the levels. And then it kind of ramps up the second time you go through. And it's a good ramping up, though. It doesn't go from, like, normal hard to, like, impossible. It's just kind of a lot of it, like, boss characters are very pattern-based, or some of the levels you just got to know where certain, like, enemies are, like, pits are, and if this level's scrolling, you got to, like, it's kind of trial and error, but it's fun because it's so quick. So it's kind of hard to explain, but it's just done really, really well. It's like, it's set up like a, I guess a lot of platforms set up like this now. You kind of like an overworld, and you kind of pick which level you want to go to. You go to that level, and you have like five different levels. But I haven't tried co-op yet. I wish it was online. I think they kind of dropped the ball there. Because I haven't.
Oh, it's not online.
It's not online, no. It's four-player co-op locally.
Is this something that you think that can be patched?
Like, I think they probably could, but I don't think they will.
No, I don't think so.
Because I don't know how well it's
doing. I don't
think
they will, not at all.
That just seems like a missed opportunity. I mean, if you're going to sell this game, day one as a $60 retail title, and you're not going to have online, who puts out a single-player game nowadays? Like, I mean, I know it's couch co-op and everything, but who puts on a non-online co-op game? Like,
the only thing I can think of is that, because there are parts that are pretty precise, and if they didn't have the netcode down where it was, like, flawless, I can see maybe they'd be like, what's the point? Just going to screw everyone up and everyone else is going to frustrate people, so why bother? But then the opposite side of the coin, you'd be like, well, at least put it in there and let people decide for themselves if they want to play it that way. But I don't know. Maybe they didn't even try. Because I know it was originally supposed to be an Xbox Live and PSN arcade game, but right. I don't know. I know you got it, Travis. You haven't tried it out yet.
I got it, and I was like, well, I'm playing Xenoblade, so I'm just going to let someone else borrow it right now.
That makes sense. It's been, like, the perfect kind of, like, palate cleanser for me. Like, I'll play a bunch of, like, Skyrim, and then Battlefield 3 or something like that. Then I'll be like, you know what, I feel like playing something, like really light and just kind of, like, I don't know, just happy. And I'll play a couple levels of that and be like, all right. Actually, to be honest, like, last weekend, I barely touched Skyrim, and I played about five hours of Rayman.
Oh, wow.
Not in a row, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Surprisingly, I'm actually loving it. And I think it might be, like, technical wise, no, but I think it's probably the best looking game this year.
Really?
Like, just because it's so good looking.
Best looking for a 2D game. I mean,
Well, yeah, but I mean, overall, it's just so good. Like, I mean, as I said, technically, no. Like, of course, going up against something like Battlefield, Battlefield's gonna wow you. Like, it looks so real, and look at, like, all these crazy particle effects, and all this crazy shit happening. But Rayman, just you look at it, and it looks like you're playing a cartoon. And a very well thought out, kind of, like, stylized cartoon. It's not like, because, like, Mario looks cartoony, but even Mario now has gone to 3D graphics on a 2D plane. Which still looks good, but this is like hand drawn HD. Like it looks really good. Like you got to really like play the game, and you'll see some environments you're just like, wow. Like some of the stuff that's happening, like the parallax scrolling, and like it's just the layers and stuff. It looks really good. It's gorgeous. Like every level I go to, I'm like, it's like, wow, it's pretty cool. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like it's been Skyrim, Rayman, and I have some Magic, some Street Fighter, and of course some Battlefield 3. Which apparently I'm pretty close to the campaign, and if I am close to being done the campaign, that is one short-ass campaign.
Apparently it is, like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I'd say closer to 4.
That sounds like it's just comparable with all the other military shooters out there.
That's true. That
pretty
is true.
Much.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
Let's see, what else have I played? I played some more Super Mario Brothers. I ended up getting through all the stages on that. The one thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit that I forgot to last week when I mentioned this on Games Only Older the other day when I was recording with them. So one of the biggest things about 3D platforming that always bothered me is that, you know, jumping can always be like jumping from platform to platform could always be sometimes very difficult because you can't judge distance and that kind of thing. And I thought that a 3D screen was going to alleviate some of that. But it really doesn't help that much. I was kind of hoping it would, but I find myself still like jumping to my death quite a bit. It's because it's hard to judge where Mario is on the screen compared to the platform. So I don't know. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. It didn't do what I expected it as far as like how easy it is to play that sort of game.
You gotta crank that 3D up, man.
It's all the way up, dude. But that's the thing. It's like, it's, you know, everybody sees 3D different, apparently, on this type of technology. So maybe it's just that my eyes don't process it the same as someone else's do. So, I don't know. I mean, if other people, I'm interested to hear if anybody else is having the same kind of difficulty or if they are noticing that it is better. I have a feeling that if it was like a first person perspective or like even third person, like behind the back, like with something like Pilot Wings, I can tell where I'm going in Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
So, but when it's like a side scroller, it's still very hard to judge where the platform is or where the enemy is. I still find myself looking for the shadow on the ground.
Right.
And to me, that's still just like a traditional 2D version of a game, you know, and of a 3D game on a 2D television. So
did you get to mess around with the new update that the 3DS got, like with the 3D video? How's that work?
I did a little bit of the 3D video, and I got to be honest with you, man, the cameras on the 3DS just suck so bad as it is. It's really just hard on the eyes, especially if you have something that's close to the cameras at first. Yeah, if you're recording a 3D video and you record something that's really close to the screen, it really messes with my eyes. So I mean, it's really just another feature that's there. Mm-hmm. You know, for as far as I'm concerned, it's like it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's crazy that 3 months before the 3DS even released, Sony already had a 3D 16 megapixel digital camera on the market already.
Yeah,
for $250.
Yeah,
like, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
I haven't really messed with it. I regret selling my 3DS. Just a little part of it.
Hey, Jeff, you're on my friends list still.
I'll be on there, because
eventually I will have another one. But then
the problem is we'd have to change it because I'd have to.
Well, the thing is, you're gonna get it when you get the new the 3DS Lite with twin sticks.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Let's see what else. I played some more Zelda. I'm still. I got through the first dungeon and I'm like, I think I just got to the second dungeon and I was playing it on the stream because a couple of people requested it. Mm-hmm. And by the time the hour was up, I was like, so you guys want me to keep playing this or should I pop in like Saints Row? And everyone was like, play Saints Row. So, I played some more Saints Row as well. And I cannot tell you guys how much fun I am having with Saints Row. It is such a fun game. I mean, there's a mission like almost out of the gate. They're doing like all the different little side missions. It's like the main missions in the story are to introduce you to these side missions. Gotcha. And some of the side missions, like there's one where it's like this maze game show where you're like running through the maze, killing people that are trying to kill you.
Oh yeah. The Professor Genki.
Yeah. Professor Genki's. Yeah. And you're trying to avoid like fire traps and electricity traps and shit like that. So that I thought that was really cool. That there's one side mission where you'd hop in a tank and you just cause as much destruction as possible. I'm like, this game is right up my fucking alley, you know, because they're giving you a reason to do it. They're giving you a reason to do it. It's a mission, you know. You go on this mission, you have to, you know, you get destruction combos and that kind of thing, and you build up as much damage as you can. There's one where you have to protect, like you steal some keys from a different gang, and they're keys to safety deposit boxes, and so. One of your dudes goes and picks up the contents of these safe deposit boxes, and your job is to cover his exit. And you cover his exit from a helicopter with a rocket launcher, and you're just unlimited rockets, just shooting cars, or like blowing up cars left and right. And then after that, you go to a top, you land on the top of the building, you're tied off, you jump off the side of the building, and you're sniping guys hanging from the side of the building.
That was a cool level.
It's just really fucking cool. I love the shit out of this game.
And that's before the credits even roll.
It's
the opening credits.
I put in my name.
It really is. It's like this is part of the tutorial. They're introducing you to side missions. Yeah. And then all the side missions light up on the map and you can go do them whenever you want. You know? So you can, it's like they give you that option, or you can just pick the next mission on your phone and you go on and do the next option. See, this is the type of thing that I was missing from GTA. There's structure here. There's direction. A lot. Yeah. The fun was not there. Yeah. But no, so, I mean, I seriously think that Saints Row is going to be on my game of the year list. I mean, I got to narrow it down, but it's totally such a good game.
Without a doubt.
That's why we can't do our game of the year list till like January.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard because there's so many games.
I
want to
touch on what you
on.
Were saying, because you were kind of touching on structure, and I think you were kind of going towards something. Like, that phone that you have in that game is something that they were trying to do in Grand Theft Auto 4, but it was so clunky. The controls were clunky.
Yeah.
It was not appealing to the eyes. But, I mean, your main menu is that phone. And it's
done really well.
Really,
too.
Really well. It's easy to get the missions. It's easy to check on your stuff. It's easy to upgrade your weapons. It's easy.
It's easy to set the GPS. It's easy to do everything.
Everything. It's you know? One of the best menus, if not the best menu system for a sandbox game like this.
Yeah.
Really good.
And what I really like about like the GPS is not only will they give you the GPS, but they will show you like while you're driving, they put arrows up. Like on the direction that you're supposed to go. Like they're kind of like holograms that are inside the world.
I love
so
that.
It's like it's really nice because
brilliant.
You don't have to because you're focused on the screen and you don't want to have to look down at the GPS. So you can glance down every once in a while, but you can get there just by watching what's
the
on
screen.
The screen mm-hmm. and following the arrows that are on the screen. So they did so many like little things in this game that made it easier to play, easier to take on, and just like more enjoyable in general.
Yeah, you will see Grand Theft Auto 5 take that from Saints Row.
Oh, hell yeah. If they don't, they would be stupid not to.
That was huge.
No, they took, what's it called, from Saints Row, the first game, the GPS in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Saints Row had that in I guess it would have been San Andreas probably was before that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. There you go.
Did anyone
get a lot of?
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say they can get a lot of ideas from this game because it's
oh,
just fun. It's just downright fun.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to play it. I was just gonna say, anyone mess around with the new dashboard?
You know what?
I did a little bit.
Can I say I like it?
I'm in between right now. I think it's just more.
Oh man,
used it to
is
it.
So much better than the last one. So much better. It's better organized. It's easier to find stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's like with the previous version of the dashboard, I would bring up the guide.
You're
I would hit the guide button, bring up the blades.
By the way, for people who don't know.
Yeah. I would use the blades, after hitting the guide button.
Yeah.
Cause I just, it was not user friendly for me. Mm-hmm. This is much
it's
better.
It's pretty straightforward.
And, yeah. And it's like it's got, basically the menu at the top. And, you know, each menu item has its own set of items that you can do.
Sub items.
And I think it's much, much better than it was.
It's like a perfect blend of the XMB with what Microsoft had before. It's like they took like, the Sony's thing.
I agree.
putting categorize, but then once you go to the category, you head down, it has like more categories where it just makes sense.
Right.
I will say I was scared though, because I think it came out on Wednesday? No. Tuesday? I think it came
out? Something like
that. And everyone else had it. I didn't have it. So I was like, okay, maybe it's just rolling out in Canada like later. And I was playing Skyrim, all of a sudden I signed offline. I was like, oh, okay, so it's probably going to force me to do an update. So when I'm done playing Skyrim, I logged into Skyrim, and then it's right away pops up and goes, oh, there's an update available. So I'm like, sweet! Update. All of a sudden I get an error message. I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. Try again. Can't connect to Xbox Live. Something's wrong with your connection. I'm like, okay. So I try to test my connection. It goes all the way up to the Xbox Live part and says, yep, something's fucked up. I was like, son of a bitch. Did it just fuck something with my consoles?
Yeah, it got pulled a little bit. I think it got delayed for,
it did,
like,
yeah.
What, 12, 18 hours maybe? If that?
Apparently. I tried the next morning. It worked. Thank God. Like, I couldn't sign. I was, like, up for about another hour, and every once in a while I'd just try to log on to get online, and wouldn't even let me online. It would just say, nope, don't have the update, can't get online. I was like, what the fuck's going on? But then the next morning it worked, so I was like, okay, good. Finally, I didn't screw up my shit. I was just afraid I wouldn't be able to sign online until they fixed it. Which was, I guess, technically true, but
yeah. Well,
luckily,
yeah.
I was, you know, it was at night. But anyway, yeah, just wanted to touch on that a little bit. All right. I kind of get excited for stupid shit like that.
Well, I was actually very pessimistic about it because I was like, I just hate that they change it all the time. But at least they changed it to something that made sense.
Well, it's they changed it every like 3 years. I mean, that's not that bad.
You know, what my favorite part about it is that if you can't find anything, you can Bing that shit. Just Bing it.
And as much people make fun of it and say they hate Bing, it is so helpful. I've used it twice already.
Like, seriously, like for something that
as,
such
as
a...
much as people make fun of Bing, it's just Google with a different wrapper.
Well, yeah, but no
it really is
different,
console,
though.
It's a console.
The results, the results you get back are the results that you would get back with a Google.
Well, no,
system.
No,
no.
We're talking about the actual console.
No, it, like it, right now on the old dashboard console, if you were trying to search, say you were just jumping into Assassin's Creed 2 and you wanted like some old DLC, you'd have to go through so many different menus. It'd be a pain. It would take some time.
Oh, no. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
We're talking about the console version of Bing, not the PC version of Bing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Like, have you tried it yet on 360?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't
not
used
you,
it,
but
so.
Chris, but yeah, if you're looking for any like DLC or anything, just go to Bing, type in the game, boom. Everything that's related to that game that's on Xbox Live pops up.
Yeah, videos, DLC.
Everything.
If it's a game on demand, the full
it's
game.
It's really,
stuff,
really cool.
It's all there, yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, like...
Was there not a search function to begin with?
Nope.
Well, there... Not really, no. There was, like... Huh. You could, but you had to go by, like, search, then go by alphabet, and, like, go to A, go to, like, L, then you have to scroll down
I don't,
to
I haven't
the
used,
L's.
I haven't used the PSN search function, but does that work well?
I've never used the PSN search function. I just used to go by...
The PSN store has always
games.
Had a search function. So it actually kind of baffles me that it took this long to get a search function on Xbox Live.
Yeah. The cloud
saves. I guess, yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I saw that too. I actually activated it, but I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
It basically makes it, it basically treats it like a different source.
Yeah. But
which is
kind of
cool.
You still have to go through the normal crap if you want to add your gamer tag to another console.
Right.
Though.
You still. But you can still go and grab your save file.
Yes.
And that's the important part.
That's the important thing. Yeah. That's very, very cool. That'll help for like, you know, Extra Life or something like that.
And you can now do that with your Xbox Live profiles. Which is awesome.
You can do that with a profile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. You totally can. Yeah, you can. It's you can't do it. You can't save it on the cloud, but say you go to somewhere else. You can go to sign in, and then you just put in your Xbox, your gamer tag, and whatever password you have hooked up to it, and it downloads it to that console. And you'll still have it. Yeah, you don't have to delete it. It'll just
download it. How many consoles can you do it at once?
I don't know.
It doesn't delete it and unregister you on your current console.
I'm guessing it probably, when you go back in, sign in on your other console, it probably erases from the other console you're on. So it's not like a permanent thing. It's just like, if you were just like, say, hey, I have two Xboxes, I can go back and forth. Or if you go to like a friend's place and you're like, oh shit, I have the DLC for this. Let me get my profile. Instead of having to actually, you know how when you go through that long process of actually like re-downloading it where it takes forever?
Yeah,
you don't have to do that anymore.
Okay. That's what I was looking for. On the dashboard when I was saying, hey, what's new? I was looking at those videos and I didn't see anything mentioning that. And that was the important thing. Like, cloud saving's cool and all, but
it's on one of the videos you can watch.
It's on there. Okay.
Yeah. You can't save it directly to the cloud. It's just a new way of like, you just have to sign into it on another Xbox.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. So I kind of did it without telling you, I guess.
I was disappointed that the 0 hour they did just currently, they came out and said, okay, I know we're a couple of days away from the release of the new thing, but hey, now you're not getting this. It's like all this cool stuff that they're pushing. Like, you know, I subscribe to HBO, and HBO Go is an awesome fucking app. Mm. And that got...
Well, it's coming, just not day
and date. Yeah, but we were supposed to get a day and date, and it got delayed like a week before the thing's being released.
And apparently it took out Netflix Party, too. Which, to be honest, I've never used
Netflix. I've never used it either. Yeah.
I tried it once to see if it worked, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool, but I would never use it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that's still cool coming. They're doing some really cool things because there was never a really interesting way to... For like the Nielsen, I don't know how they do the ratings in TV, but in the States here they have the Nielsen ratings, and it's how they vote what was the top show that, you know, that that demographic for that primetime slot and everything. They're actually letting Nielsen view the stats on the Comcast and Xfinity type cable programming to see who's watching the most stuff on Xbox and everything, so they can those shows can be rated and get their, you know, get their numbers and everything through the Xbox and, you know, digitally and stuff like that. So that's just pretty cool. It helps TV shows out and everything a lot too. So that's neat.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm done with my distractions now. So let's move to news.
Not much news, man.
Xenoblade. Hey, what do you got, Jeff?
I already said Xenoblade coming to North America, April.
Yeah, that's good news. That's very good news.
Yeah. Is that it? I mean, is that all the awesome news for JRPGs? Or is there more?
For JRPGs, yes, that is all the awesome news for JRPGs.
Well, no, there is a little more and everything. Xenoblade, yeah, is coming in April.
Didn't they just say that's gotten a release date for Europe now?
Yeah, it's coming in February.
Like February
to Europe.
20-something?
I will be importing it.
Hopefully it's 20-something.
Yeah.
And that game looks
good. We're waiting a while if it's not.
Let's see, anything else that you got, Jeff?
No, that's all I have, really.
All right. Well, there was something that went around recently saying that the Vita was only going to support one PSN account, and anybody who listened to Gamers Only Older yesterday, if it released yesterday, knew. You know, I talked about it on there, and I was pretty annoyed with it. Well, apparently, so there's good news and bad news. Apparently, the Vita will support multiple PSN accounts. Mm-hmm. However, it will require multiple memory cards.
And those are totally priced, you know.
Oh, they're super cheap, so who cares? Yeah.
So yeah, you will have to, you know, if you want like a Japanese account or something like that, you will have to have a separate memory card for your other account. So it's cool that they have the ability to have multiple, you know, PSN accounts.
Yeah.
But I just cannot get over the price of these sticks. However, they did say that, you know, There is a rumor out there that games digitally may be 40% less than up to 40% less than the actual physical version. Yeah, and that's what I said.
And I can guarantee you that's probably first party only.
I would not doubt it. I would not doubt it. And I can, you know, I bet that GameStop's going to have some problems with that, but
yeah,
and other retailers in general. But, you know, if that is the case, that would very much supplement the price, the cost.
Read fine print, 6 months after release.
Yeah. I would be surprised about that. What else we got?
Oh, Tony Hawk made an announcement during this past VGAs that just happened in the future, yet it's not the future because you're listening to this on Monday.
In the future, in the past future?
Yeah.
Didn't he announce a new game?
Yeah.
What did he say it was called? It was called,
Who gives a shit?
I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I just don't give a shit.
Okay.
Because he's probably going to use his stupid ass board.
What
that
do you
nobody
probably?
Use.
It's already happened, Chris, and it was terrible.
It was horrible.
It was God. No one cares about Tony Hawk Dances with the Care Bears. Like, seriously.
We don't know for a fact, though, that he's actually going to do it. Okay, we just think he is. So this is what we're gonna do. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
I got another news thing.
Okay.
Tony Hawk was supposed to say something on the VGAs about his brand new game.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. So.
Oh. Okay. Well.
So.
Well, that's the best news we've heard all day.
I know. So.
Who gives a shit?
That's right. So, just in case, we got backup. We got back.
Or, you know, it could totally, you know, he came out on stage and we usually, who gives a shit, this kind of thing. But he actually came out and he actually announced a really fucking cool game. I couldn't believe it.
Wow, that was awesome. Did you see that?
You know what? That surprised me. Activision, Tony Hawk, kudos, because that is pretty
funny. It was awesome. And when he brought up Peter Molyneux to explain the game, Oh, what you do? You use Kinect. You are the skateboard.
You are Tony.
You are the skateboard.
You are the skateboard.
I think,
wait, come ride
I think
me.
It's time to take a break.
Yeah. So you got a plank. You have to plank while someone rides you.
Yeah. The Kinect will take a picture of you.
And you can work your core.
And you do the worm to do an ollie or something like that.
We'll call it Wheels Fable.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not some developers get a free pass. And then after that, we'll do a new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Yeah!
It's time to wake up.
Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors. Kind and caring souls such as, nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And welcome back.
You will.
Alright, so does Bethesda get a pass? Does Nintendo get a pass?
A little bit.
I think they might. Let's talk about it. Gizmo,
Let's take it away.
Mogwai!
It's not midnight yet, so you're not quite grumpy, so let's go.
Grumpy?
No.
Gizmo never got grumpy at midnight. You just can't feed him after midnight.
If you fed him
after midnight. No, it was a joke. Shut up. Go on.
What's up, dude? That was funny. What's up, dudes? Hedges 1001 again with an answer for you. Short answer, no. Long answer, no, but here's why. I personally don't judge a game based on the dev. Rather, I judge it as a game. For example, Fallout 3 on the PS3 was a buggy mess that froze every time a notification popped up on launch. But I left it for a while. It got patched, and now it's a freaking awesome game. My point is, developers of big open games can't necessarily test the entire world, which might also explain the lag in New Vegas and Skyrim on PS3. However, when the game is smaller, like Call of Duty, when it's harder to forgive a game since really there isn't much to test, so realistically 80 to 90% of the bugs should be gone. I hope that made sense. Hedges, oot.
Oot.
Thank you, Hedges.
Makes sense. I guess, definitely a personal way to look at games. I'd probably look at it from the same angle. But I guess, like, it's hard, I guess reviewers, it's hard for them to do that kind of thing. To do or not do it, because they kind of have to, they have deadlines, so they can't really wait for those patches. But you'll see a game that comes out, is a buggy mess, but it'll get like a 9. Like, for instance, Skyrim on PS3. I don't think they did separate reviews.
They didn't. Most didn't.
They just gave an overall score, and would mention some problems with the PS3 version. But, that being said, the PS3 version right now is a huge mess. Like, people who got that on PS3 are very, 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 very
really?
Pissed off.
Really? Okay, here's the thing. It's like, I keep hearing that, but, you know, talking to Adam the other day, and he has it on PS3, he's put almost 100 hours into that game, and he said that he's only run into, like, one or two issues.
Well, yeah. That's good. Because, apparently, it's like, once you get past a certain point, it doesn't necessarily freeze up, but the frame rate drops, like, mad when it shouldn't. Hmm. And stuff like that, because the save game gets bigger and bigger. Because, of course, like, it saves everything. Like, if you knock over an apple, it saves that.
Yeah.
So, one of the workarounds is that people have been doing is they'll go into an area. If they open up a door, they'll make sure to close it. So it's as what it was remaining before they changed anything in the gaming world. Which, to me, would be hell.
Yes, it would.
Because, like, you don't want to you don't want to be using, like, unrelenting force in, like, an indoor and area. And all of a sudden, you, like, got apples and cheese wheels
everywhere. Back.
Like, fuck! Yeah, exactly. You're playing cleanup. Like, son of a bitch.
I played this game with my son yesterday. Hey, Leo, let's play cleanup. Come on. No, that would be annoying as shit. I could not deal with that.
I guess, well, that I'm saying too, it's not happening with everyone, but I mean, just go to any forums or anything. It's a huge thing being like, what the hell? Like, you basically released a broken ass game. Like, even though it's not...
Yeah, I was saying, it's not broken.
Ass, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just... Well, I mean, it could be broken. Like, I mean, you hit a game-breaking bug. Like, you can't advance anymore.
Yeah, and...
The main quest.
They get
they
get no pass for me, because I'm legitimately pissed off about it. But...
Have you contacted them about that?
I mean, I went to, like, the forums and there's a, there's a little thread saying like problems, bugs, and everything, and I posted it in there. But I didn't I didn't call up, you know, Todd Howard to, hey, bro, what's up? It's Travis again. Yeah, I had this problem.
Yeah,
just,
you know, good time hanging out.
I want you to take care of. Yeah, I didn't do that yet.
This ish.
Yeah, I didn't do that yet.
There's a new one every show.
Good God.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. Bethesda's a kind of like, thing that they have that going against them that a lot of developers don't is they don't outsource their ports. Like, I'm pretty sure Bethesda did the PS3, 360, and PC versions all in-house. So that would bug me, because I'd be like, you know what? They probably knew shit was happening, but they need to put it out day one, and they're their own publisher. So they didn't have to do that. Because like, when they were working under like 2K or whatever, or if they were working under like EA, it makes sense. They're getting pressure from the publisher that you need to get it all versions.
Right,
but they really didn't have to do that.
Yeah, they could have taken their time. I mean, they just needed to get it out. They committed to a date, and they had to get it. They committed. When did they announce the date? It was at E3, right? That's when they announced the date.
Yeah, it was
E3. Yeah, so at that point, gotta get it done.
You can't back out of that date either.
No,
you can't.
Uh-uh. You say 11-11-11, you're done.
Well, you can. I mean, people have backed out. I mean, fucking Sony did it with Gran Turismo. People do it, like back out of like firm dates. But I mean, they could have. What's better though? Like, what's worse? I guess delaying the game another month, or making it so a lot of people don't even want to play it until it's patched till a month.
The game's still great though. Even with the problem that I had, the game's still great.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know if it's great playing. You're not playing it on PS3.
Like, right.
Well, yeah.
Go at any forum. Like, there seems to be like a lot of problems. Like a lot, and it's like a lot of like hard freezes. Like you have to reset your console like quite often. Like frame rate issues. Quest just not even activating. Like a lot of stuff like that's happening way more on this. So it's of course like most people we know are playing it on 360 or PC, which. They're the ones who are getting patched first, for one. And
actually,
they don't have as many
the first
issues,
patch,
so
didn't
like, yeah,
the PS3 get it before the 360 did?
Yeah.
It did, but it wasn't for the same shit, and it still didn't really fix anything. It would fix, like, one thing, and then, like, messed up a bunch of
awesome!
Kind of like what the other patch did.
Kind of like what they did for 360. So.
Anyway, yeah, I guess, another
email. All right, well, when we asked about who gets free passes and everything, and what he thoughts about it, Zangthingun replied, said it kind of depends... Mm-hmm. on whose view you're talking about. In regards to consumers, the only reason this could happen is because people will go out and buy these games regardless of any issues that have been brought to light. In this day and age, there is an ample supply of information available to anyone with a computer or phone that you'll know a lot about what you're buying before you pop the disc in a tray. Especially so here in Europe, where we tend to get the games on the Friday after the typical Tuesday release date in the States. This means we have 3 whole days of people playing it on your side of the pond before it reaches us. So as you said last week, we run shit. However, there does seem to be a bias toward the bigger games on number of the review sites. If the scores are to be believed, this November has been the best month for gaming titles in years. But for instance, the few reviews mention the crippling lag in the PS3 version of Skyrim, but have no problem jumping on the bandwagon of criticism once their readers start to complain. So you could say the same about Modern Warfare 3. The scores given in the majority of reviews don't seem to match the text in the review. It certainly seems as though the 9s and 10s are handed out a lot more freely than even a few years ago. So in that respect, some of the bigger companies do seem to be getting a free pass. On the flip side, you can see criticisms such as repetitiveness or not changing enough from the previous iterations leveled at smaller titles that the big boys seem to get away with too much. To me, it's most unfair on these as one bad title can see the studio close its doors, as we've seen too far much this year. Anyway, can't wait for the GOTY show. Definitely should be an interesting discussion. Michael Armand, a.k.a. Zankton Gunn. That was a fucking awesome email, dude.
Thank you, Michael.
And this brings up to another. This brings up a point that we've talked about a lot. It's like there are and you know it's one of the cliches that some people talk about. It's like there are so many times that I see a review that says more the same, and then they you know penalize the game for being more the same. Yet they let all these other games that are more the same get away with it. It's like Modern Warfare 3. How much Uncharted 3. Uncharted 3 too. How much more of the same is Call of Duty every year? You know? but they give it 9s every year. But then, God forbid, like an RPG uses some of the same elements as other RPGs that, and it's from a smaller company, and they get hit with more of the same and get like a 6, you know?
Or it'll get more of the same and there's bugs and glitches, so they dock it even more. Whereas something like a Bethesda game or BioWare game, their games, like, okay, Mass Effect, okay, I can't do Mass Effect. Mass Effect 1 and 2 are very different games when you really look at the mechanics and stuff. They're pretty different. But, like, I guess Bethesda games or, like, even something like, I don't know, Final Fantasy or something like that, that's kind of more the same in terms of, like, Oblivion, Skyrim's way better. But my basic point here is they're getting that same label. They're not getting the label of more of the same. And also they're getting the pass from being glitchy and having bugs. Like, you see stuff that happens in Fallout, in Oblivion, in Skyrim, in... I'm trying to think of something else that's, like, known to be glitchy. Like, BioWare games are also kind of glitchy. And people are like, oh, they're funny glitches. They make it humorous. Well, dude, a lot of glitches are humorous. You see some, like... You'll see, like, a shooter be like, well, there's a lot of times where I killed someone and their body just started jumping around like a fish, flopping around like a fish out of water and gets head stuck in the ceiling. So it's not quite, you know, tight and, like, you know, very tuned to, like, perfection. So we got to take something off. But these other games are like, yeah, they're funny. So, you know, 9.5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's, and you know, that's the entire point of this conversation is that there are some companies that get away with that shit. And in reality,
but
you know, it's like they need to be at least mentioned, I think. And that's why it's like when, you know, they are most. Yeah. And we talked about, you know, offline, on one of our email threads, we talked about, Nate's review of Skyrim and the fact he brought up a lot of good points. And you know, a lot of negative points, and the score kind of reflected it. It was, he didn't give it a 5 out of 5, which is what each one of us would have given it.
Yeah. 6 out of 5, baby.
6 out of 5. So he definitely did not give them a pass for it. For us, it's like, for me, if I were rating Skyrim on a 5-point scale, I would end up giving it a 5 out of 5. On a 10-point scale, it definitely would not get a 10 out of 10.
It wouldn't be
it
a
definitely
10,
would
of course
not. Though. It would end up being probably a 9, even, and it's because of all the bugs and stuff. The game itself makes up for a lot of it with the content and the enjoyment of it, and the fact that two people can sit down and have a conversation about it and talk about two completely different things, even though they did the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me feel like Skyrim is a AAA game. However, I don't, you know, I definitely think that they get a pass when it comes to the bugs from most people. I just like to think that I'm not one of those people.
Well, no, it's not like, and also to be fair, like, Nature Review also, he didn't dock it because of bugs and glitches when you read it. But the thing is, like, that's not a thing where, like, bugs and glitches definitely deserve, like, to be docked or whatever. But I think this is where I think Bethesda especially gets the pass. It's their history. Like, they make overall really good games, and it's kind of because, like, their games are huge. Like, it's Hedge just said, like, it's to make a world like that big and a game that big, you're not going to be able to test that. You're not going to be able to, like, Q&A that stuff. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, you cannot have people testing games that are going to do every single scenario that millions of people are going to do when they buy this game on, like, day one of the first month of when a game comes, like, to be released. Understandable, but yeah, I don't know. That's where I think the whole trade-off is, I guess, because it's kind of like, if the good far outweighs the bad, is it really giving them a pass? Because you wouldn't want to take a game like Skyrim, or I love how, like, the Skyrim is obviously, like, the basis of this conversation, but you wouldn't want to reduce the score or something like that, or you wouldn't want to not recommend that game to somebody because of the glitches and stuff it does. But in a smaller base game, like if you were playing like a Call of Duty or like an Uncharted or something, even like another game that was kind of, you know, it was for the Wii, came out recently on PS3, HD remake of it.
No
More Heroes. No More Heroes. That was like kind of a game when it came out. It had like a lot of glitches and some weird bugs in it. But that got like labeled for it. like hugely. But I haven't played the game, so I don't know how big the game is. But looking at it, it wouldn't be the same size as something like a
Star. No, it's not. It is. It is open world in parts. But it's not nearly on the size of Skyrim. I mean, I don't think anything is the size of Skyrim.
Well, no, that's just fucking, giant.
But,
I don't know. I don't think it's fair when those type of games kind of get blasted by like 2 points for that kind of thing.
I also want to bring up shed a little light on another point that, Zankthan brought up in his email. He put out some attention to the review scores as well, based on these people showing favoritism or giving people a pass. And he mentioned, I'm gonna quote him again. It certainly seems as though 9s and 10s are handed out a lot more freely than even a few years ago. And I'm kind of to see that too. And I know this is kind of off the beaten path of the question of the week, but I believe that's something we can kind of like venture into further or later on and everything, because lately it does seem like that, you know, because we.
Well, you'd have to narrow it down to the media.
Yeah,
window,
well, yeah,
because I mean, they're
like not necessarily narrowed down to one media outlet, like.
No, but you'd have to take it, like, because I mean, certain like IGN doesn't give it a lot of tens. They never have, and they haven't this year. They might have given like maybe a couple, maybe like one, or like two. I think Uncharted. I think they might have gave Uncharted 3 a 10. I can't remember.
I think so.
Something like that, but I mean, they don't give it a lot. But there's other magazines.
But we're
like,
seeing it a lot. I gotta agree, like, we are seeing a lot of it. And on the flip side, I am seeing a lot of things being docked for terrible reasons. Like to bring up Xenoblade again, I read a review. It was actually the European IGN review exactly that they docked it for the graphics. The person actually even mentioned that this is the
took off.
They docked off a point only because of the graphics. And they even said that this is the best-looking game of the Wii, but just because it's not in high def and it's not on a better-looking system.
And that is a bad, bad choice of why to dock a game. Because you shouldn't be comparing games on the Wii to games on 360 and PS3. You should be comparing it to the games that are on the console that it stands, and in those consoles that are in the same, you know, playing field. So it's okay to I can see you comparing a game on PS3 to a game on 360, but the Wii is nowhere near that. So why would you do it? Yeah, and why would you dock a point?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Even though it's the best Wii game out there.
And they gave it a 9, which is a great score, and I'll take a 9 any day off a game that I like, but I mean, when they actually showed the pros and cons, and the only con was graphical prowess after they said that it was the best looking game on the Wii. It just blew my mind that was actually something they would dock that point for.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, maybe something in the future we could talk about with reviewers and everything.
But, well, no, it kind of relates too, because, I mean, let's say that game was made by Square. Well, okay, I can't do that because Square's actually had some badly reviewed games.
Yeah, no doubt. Say, like, no doubt.
Let's just say that was put out by fucking, like, Bungie and came out and were like, you know what, the graphics aren't that great, blah, blah, blah. But you know what?
It's Bungie.
It's Bungie. They have a good reputation.
I think so too. Right, I agree.
9.5.
I agree.
All right, next email.
Moving on. Hey, Adventurine, back up in this piece. It says, hello, magic voices coming from the interwebs. To answer your question of the week, yes, unfortunately, some companies get a pass for making broken games. The biggest example I can think of is, Skyrim. I know I won't be the first person to say that, but it's the most obvious one. Is the practice of patching a broken game fair? No. It's no secret that I'm old. I come from a time when a game didn't get patches and the internet did not exist as it does today. When a game came out, it worked, and if it did not, well, we got our money back. As time rolls on, we come to expect patches and fixes, and that is a shame. With the amount of money we pay for a game, or software of any sort, the thing should work day one. If we have to wait for a patch to fix a broken game, then it wasn't ready yet, and it should have not been released. Were this any other entertainment product, this would not fly. If a movie came out in the middle of it, actors started running and talking backwards, we'd ask for our money back, provided it wasn't a David Lynch film. We are paying for entertainment, which should, unless I'm crazy, entertain. It should not be frustrating. So I don't care if you promised a release date. If the game is broken, don't release it. Isn't that what testing is for? Okay, so I just reread this email, and I thought it may not exactly be what you're asking. You may be asking if some developers get a pass while others do not, or if some developers are expected to put out buggy games. Too bad, I'm leaving it. But to answer that question, no, it's not fair. So, and he said it was written on his Commodore 64 sent via a 300 baud modem.
Of course.
He's That's good awesome. Things. Actually, I thought his email was kind of on point.
I just hear something. I mean, you can't compare a movie to that, because a movie's like, I mean, straightforward.
Yeah, and...
And also, like, back in the day, there's no games even close to as big as they are now. Like, you can look at, like, Final Fantasy VI. Like, it's as much as we thought that was a big game back then, that is nothing compared to what is being put out these days.
That's true. But can you tell me that Super Mario... can you tell me Super Mario 3 was not finished?
Well,
I mean, just saying, like, you can't say...
Well, I don't
that's
just
saying, that game was a finished product. Like, it doesn't need
patching. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Travis. Like
that's what
saying.
He's saying. It's,
Travis,
it's not nearly
again,
as big as
no,
Skyrim.
I am listening to you.
I'm saying back then, games weren't there. You could test every game. You could pretty much do any kind of scenario you could do. And get it. Even those games still had bugs. They had exploits you could do to, like, do certain shit. But they were so out of the norm. Like, most people wouldn't run into them unless they were actually trying to do something or fell upon it by accident. Whereas these games are so huge, and there's so many different variables, and you can do so many more things. If they were to wait for a game to be perfect and bug-free, they would never come out.
And I see what you're saying, and I agree with that and everything. And that's why I'm giving, you know, Bethesda this pass, not because of the fact that, hey, it's Bethesda and the game is great anyway. It's because of the fact that I do understand that, you know, this is, you know, I could be easily trying to do a petition or something like that, or throw my fucking game out the window. But, I mean, it's not the case. I'm just having fun with the game. It's fun. I understand this is a huge game, and this is just one glitch. I know they're going to fix it, because it's happening to other people. So, I mean, I can still go out and do other stuff and play the game. So, they'll get a pass because of the fact that it's passable. It will get fixed. It's going to. So, I mean, if something just, like, completely freezes and shuts down my game, like, every 10 minutes that I play, like, that is something that is unpassable. You know, if I'm playing this on the PS3 and I'm having these issues, yeah, that is something that they will not get a pass for. That's when I will be starting to call for, hey, I think a company, you know, IGN should be reviewing this differently on the PS3. Or, you know, I want to see two separate reviews because IGN having their one full, you know, 9.8 or whatever it got and everything for all systems is not a true review score for every single system. Because, I mean, I think things like that should be done more. You know, did they have two separate review scores for Bayonetta? Do we know that? They did.
Yes, they did.
Okay, see, that's good. I love stuff like that. Yeah. So why does Sega get put out in the open saying, okay, this version's good, this version sucks of the same game?
I think because, as we know, review outlets didn't get the PS3 one till the day of release. They weren't sent the PS3 versions. So they probably just reviewed the PC and 360 version, put the score up there, didn't have it, because I remember IGN put up a thing saying, this is why there's no, like, whatever, PS3 review, we're just going to throw it up there. And then they added in, like, a paragraph or something, like, well, the PS3 version has these issues that we noticed. But, again, it's like reviewing it. Skyrim's kind of like reviewing a single-player MMO. You can't really get a good handle on what the game's like until you put in, like, dozens and dozens and dozens of hours in it. Literally, like, probably, like, 100. Like, MMOs take forever to actually get, like, a good review. So they're probably like, well, technically it's the same content, so whatever, we'll just keep it with the same review. And they probably didn't want to go back, because at this point it's kind of too late. Like, what if they were to throw up another review, say, alright, the PS3 version gets, like, an 8.5. You think that's going to make a difference at this point in the game? Like, really?
Well, the one thing that I want to comment on about his email is that, is going back to the whole completed product thing. And what Jeff said is exactly right. I mean, when it comes to something like Super Mario Brothers, there is a very finite number of test cases that you can go through. You know, you can jump in every spot on a stage. You can do that kind of thing. When it comes to Skyrim and the world that they've created, there is virtually an infinite number of test cases that you would have to go through if you wanted to be absolutely perfect. And it gets to the point where it's just not feasible to do it, like Jeff said. So in reality, as the scale of these games increase, you know, it's just that the more testing they have to do, the longer it's going to take. And again, we will never get the game. So to an extent, I understand why we're accepting of like patches and things like that, because we've never been to at the point where we'd have games on this scale. And, you know, there's only so much you can test. And the best way to test something out is to get it out there in the hands of the people, because they're going to report issues, and then you'll be able to, you know, then people can, then the developers get a chance to attempt to reproduce those issues and fix them from there. So in reality,
dude,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Bethesda, next fucking game you make, beta that shit.
Yeah, and that's really the thing. I mean, their games are so huge right now that they should treat it just like they would treat an online game.
Agreed.
They should get the game in the hands of players and let the players play it and you know, actually let them beta test, increase your QA sample, you know, because that's what you need to do in this case. So, you know, it's a give and take. I mean, you got to accept a little bit in order to get the game, but you know, there are steps that Bethesda could take to improve things. Is it going to be perfect? No, of course not. But the point is that, you know, to a point it's excusable, but they do have to take steps to improve what they're doing.
Gotcha. Do we have any more?
Yeah,
emails,
we do have a couple more. This one comes from Mike PSN08, and I gotta tell you what, guys, I kind of want to read this email screaming, but I'm not going to. Don't worry,
because
it might as well be, because he's hot, dude. He's pretty pissed. he says, first, why are we so infested with fucking glitches in our games these days? I mean, this has been going on PC for decades, and now our console gaming is infected more and more. So you ask if companies should get a free get the fuck out of jail pass card for screwing up the game? Hell no. The companies like EA, Bethesda, and Activision, that sounded nice, to name a few, are criminals at large for this for this charge against them. Why should we have to fix online gaming experience, and why do we have to wait weeks or more than a month for a patch that might only fix a few issues? Some of the patches even create other glitches. People, you need a team of testers to check out the games before you launch it. When a company releases an alpha beta of a upcoming title, it is to get the public involved to find these glitches. And I have to say this now to people who have that controller up their ass. Betas are not demos for you to bitch to each other on the Twitter world or Facebook. bitch to the company so they know what is messed up before release day. Yes, I'd rather have a game released a few months later with no glitches at all. Honestly, I played Battlefield 3 beta and reported a maglite on a pistol blinding me in the sunlight. Okay, the patch is out, and that issue has not been fixed. Too many times I try online with Major League Baseball 2010, the show, and each time, me and my friends get kicked offline. New games like Uncharted 3 still have issues online. Some companies never fix the issues at all on a shitty title. Some companies never even fix issues at all on a shitty title like King of Fighters 12. That game was bullshit from the get-go. Sorry, this crap needs to end before more and more people begin to lose faith in that game or series. Man, do I sound bitter or what? Well, I am, and I'm playing less now because I'm tired of pouring my money out for a glitch-filled game that I have been waiting for over a year. Well, that is my thought, and I'm sticking to it all. And iPhone games have trapped me in the gaming world on my iPhone. Now Zen Pinball is out, and it's time to play some more. Mike, PSN08. Mike, I got the answer for you, man. Your problem is you're playing on that P3. You gotta get on that. You gotta become Mike, Xbox 360 08.
Yeah, that's what
you need to do. Get on that online so good you pay for it. That's what I'm talking about.
And it broke your online overnight and you couldn't get on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he pretty much reiterated a lot of the stuff that Aventurine talked about.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
We talked about that. So let's too.
Like, there's never going to be a glitchless game. Never. There never was been. Even back in any game, every game has.
It was just harder to find them because it was, you know, it was just crazy stuff.
And they're so simple. Yeah, it was like. You
know. Well, listen,
I will say, actually, I did want to comment though. Yeah. Sorry. The whole thing with beta testing versus demos, I fucking hate that. Like, they really need to start doing beta tests. Like, do it, like, 6 months to a year out, and then gather information. Like he said, like, he's just like, well, I figured it's a beta. I'm going to report bugs and stuff. And the one about Battlefield, that was actually supposed to be in the last patch. They were supposed to patch that out of the the fucking big light thing that blinds people mm-hmm. during the day. They were going to take that out, but apparently the last minute they decided not to. So I don't know if that's the relation to people saying more people said it was fine than people said it didn't or what, but that's they should be doing that a year out, like 6 months out, not, you know, right up to
right,
release
right.
or 2 weeks later.
Agreed.
Or whatever it is.
Hey, cool. One more email. Let's
one
do it.
One more email, and it's a little segment I'm going to start calling Kiwi Time, starring Sangrita. All right. He says, well, I think there is a bias on some games getting a pass on their bugginess. I don't think it is down to the devs. I think it's more to do with the genre. Games like Skyrim, Fallout 3, and New Vegas, Red Dead Redemption, GTA 4, and Saints Row 3 have all been given good to excellent reviews despite the amount of bugs that are present in those games. They're all large open world or sandbox experiences, and the general consensus is that the larger the scale of the game, the more bugs and issues are forgiven. There is also the issue of, and I think this is fair, it's a tough one. At the end of the day, I've got to say no, as there are developers out there that put effort into their large open world games to keep them issue free, and they are not given recognition to it as it is expected. Meanwhile, games with a shit ton of bugs in them are looked at and people say, yeah, it's buggy as fuck, but hey, look how big the world is, so it's cool. So those are just my quick thoughts. Left this one a bit late. Keep up the good work, guys. Sangrita.
Thanks, Angry.
We kind of touched on that, too.
Hopefully that curry is digesting.
He also says that we are allowed to call him Mark because we are cool. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. We touched on this, too. So.
Yeah. I love the point he made, though, that he has said that, you know, it's easy for us to say, okay, well, it's buggy, but it's a big game, but we don't really give too much credit to the games that are open world just like this, but it's not very buggy at all. You know, I didn't have too many issues at all. Red Dead Redemption.
I didn't have any.
Yeah, he had it in parentheses, so I didn't read it during the main email. But yeah, he mentioned with Red Dead Redemption, it's a huge game, and there are not really very many bugs there. I mean, there's a couple of technical hiccups that'll be here and there, but no, like, bad glitches.
I will say in regards to Saints Row 3, Saints Row 3 is probably by far the best reviewed Saints Row game. So I was going to say, like, bringing it back just from glitches, because we can touch on games that aren't really like full with glitches and bugs that I think also get a pass. My theory is the second a developer makes a AAA game, and by that I mean like critically acclaimed, like it does well, like
sales
on the mm-hmm. market, like sales and everything like that, all of a sudden standards are raised, anticipation is raised, hype's going to be up there. I think that kind of lowers standards a bit in regards to reviewers and even in gamers' minds, because I mean, there's a lot of games. Like I think Naughty Dog got a pass on Uncharted 3. Like, I'm just gonna say it. I, as much as the game was good, I thought it was a step back from 2, and like pretty much, I wouldn't say every way, but majority of the ways, I think Bungie gets a pass on a lot of the stuff that they do. Like, I think their stuff is decent, but I mean, some stuff is not as good as others. But every game that they seem to put out seems to average like in the 90s or like high 80s or whatever. And same thing with a lot of these things, but they're not full of bugs or anything. But in like with Saints Row's case, it kind of did something the opposite. Like Saints Row 1 was okay. Saints Row 2, also okay. 3, that's getting ridiculous amount of
It's getting a lot of reviews, a lot of good reviews from everybody. And it's just, I think they just, you know, they went
they
over the top with it.
They
stepped up the game, right? they just changed. They changed the way that type of game is going to be looked at in the future. GTA 5 is going to be looked at on a different level now, I think.
I think so too.
It's not necessarily going to be like, oh, how good is this game? It's going to be how much fun is this game to play?
Exactly, and that's why I think.
No, I was just going to say, and I you know, I think they're going to have to make some changes to GTA to just get to that level, because the bar has been raised on how much fun that type of game can be with Saints Row 3.
Yeah. Yep. That's basically my thought was going to be, I think a lot of developers need to prove themselves to both consumers and media outlets, and once they do that, they get a little bit of slack cut for them. And I think that's something that did Volition did Saints Row 3?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. So like they you know, 1 and 2 got docked for stuff that we're talking about, like, you know, stuff being a little bit off, whatever, like repetitive, maybe some glitches, maybe things that just don't flow as well as other games in that genre. And three, they up the game is just flat out fun. And let's be honest, I know the three of us here, at least like us, like, and this is a family, that's number one. If the game is fun, then you know what, that trumps everything else if it's really, really fun. And I think they did that with Saints Row. Well, I haven't played it, but from hearing from you guys talk about it, like Jason talk about it, like everyone we know talk about it, they up the fun so much that those things that were bitched about before don't matter anymore. And I think that's where the developers get the pass from. And I don't think it's, is it fair? No. Is it in some cases warranted? Sure. Because I mean, if the game is fun in the end, and the glitches don't really mean anything. I will say, though, I think one of the biggest, like we said it, I think Bethesda does get away with most of it. But let's be honest, their games are huge. No one puts out games as big as them on consoles. It's like, it would be impossible to test.
Yeah, and just to reiterate that, I work as a software engineer, and you know what I work on. The team that I lead, there's three main applications that we work on. All right. One is really, really tiny. It's internal. You know, it's only used by people in the company. One is like a POS system for a smaller business. And one is a huge POS system, basically, that just, there's so much function and, you know, so much ability in this application. You know, it's like those first two almost have no problems at all. You know, it's like, it's rare to find a problem. And when we find one, it's like, you know, the releases that we put out have like three or four things in them and we're done. The releases we put out for the larger application, sometimes there's like 60 things in there. And it's just, you cannot, you know, when you have a QA team of X people, those X people can only do Y amount. You know, it's like there are so many different test cases and so many different scenarios about how you can do things that, you know, you're not going to think of everything. And the only way you can do it is if, you know, is get it out to more people. The more people that have it in their hands, the more scenarios you have to work with. And that's why some of these bigger, larger games have bugs after release. Cause it's not until it gets out there into the hands of the players that these scenarios are gone through, and that's when they come up.
You actually just brought out a good point too that we didn't touch on, is the amount of people that are playing the game. If, say, a game like Skyrim or Fallout only sold like 500,000 copies, would people be making that much of a deal about it?
Well,
because it's that, it's so many people have like, or would these, all these like scenarios come up and be in like everyone's face?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, and we probably would see, we probably would still see a lot of the things that are being brought up now, but we would see less of the more detailed things that are being put up. It's like, I'm sure one of the things that you talked about. It's like there's the trick archery shots. Those weren't meant to be in the game, but you know, who's going to do that? Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. That's the kind of thing that, you know, QA people don't think to do that. Hey, I'm going to shoot an arrow straight up in the air.
God, no.
And then I'm going to fast travel to Whiterun and watch it hit the fucking, you know, the fucking king in the head.
Someone in the head.
It's like that shit doesn't happen. So.
And that's why I think you can't blame reviewers either, because they're just one person. They're not millions of people playing the game at the same time.
Yeah, and it's very possible that one person that played through it didn't have these issues.
It's a matter of
getting those scenarios actually, you know, running into them to report them. So.
Yeah, I think it was Hedges. Hedges, I think, was the first one who wrote in and said, like, this day and age with the internet and all this stuff, all this information you can get pretty much anywhere on your phone, on your laptop, on your PC, everywhere you go, on your toilet. It's like, you can, if you're really that worried about stuff like this and like glitches in games, just wait it out a bit. Just do research. Like, you can't really blame anyone but yourself for buying a faulty product. Yeah, sure, you can blame the publishers and developers till the cows come home, but it's like, well,
but Skyrim is still going to sell millions of copies. So
Skyrim's going to, like, everything's going to, like, as much as people hate repetitive shit and the same old, same old, those top AAA games are always going to sell, and they're always going to, you know, get out there in the public. And
The one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is that I'm going to bring up is Nintendo. Because
no, we haven't even talked about Nintendo yet. Shit, and that was one of the main reasons we brought up this topic.
Yeah, and
last week.
I gotta say that I think the pass that they get is a lot bigger than the pass that Bethesda gets.
Yeah, I think so too.
I gotta be honest with you guys. I mean, when I was playing Zelda on the stream, it's like I was talking with Nabashin and I was talking to Life as a Gamer, Lag. And Lag is a big Nintendo dude. He's a huge Nintendo dude. And him and I are talking and he's like, yeah, I kind of wish they would have put classic controls in here. You know, I mean, that's what everybody wanted. It's like, and the thing is that, and this is why I think they get a free pass and they get the one that's not fair. It's like they decided themselves, this is what we're going to do. Okay. They delayed the game like four times. All right. I even made a joke about it on our prediction show saying that it wasn't coming out this year. And I was almost right.
Yeah.
I was almost right.
You were pretty close.
they had all the time they wanted and, you know, sure, I'm sure they got pressure from like investors and stockholders and shit like that. But the point is that it was their decision to put this control scheme in, and the control scheme doesn't work the way it should.
Yeah.
No.
It should be an option. Like everything that's on, like almost everything that's on, like fucking Move. It's like, well, you could play it like this or you can play it like this. And even the Kinect, like some of the stuff that says, you know, better with Kinect, you know, it's optional, you know, make it optional. I mean, Zelda is a game that most people played with a control pad. Let me play with a control pad. That's the way I want to play Zelda.
Yeah. And not to mention the camera issues like that I mentioned last week, you know.
Yeah.
It is a very, very old, archaic 15-year-old camera system.
It's an N64 camera system.
It's following you.
That's what it is.
It's trying to read your mind and what it thinks that you're going to do, and it's kind of moves by that.
And you know, the game would be so much better if you had the option to move the camera yourself. Because I find myself in the middle of like trying to run through a dungeon, having to turn and like hit C to center it, and you know, and then there are times when it decides to start moving when I'm trying to turn, and it doesn't adjust your control based on the direction the camera's turning. So you just like fall off or whatever, fall off whatever tightrope you're walking on or whatever like bridge you're walking across. I think that the controls were fundamentally bad in Skyward Sword. And I think a lot of it got a complete pass. Complete pass.
I agree.
Sticking with the same thing like Nintendo, and I don't want to feel like we're hating on Nintendo here because overall they're pretty damn good. I agree. New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii. That game got really, really, really good reviews. And that's not where I'm going with, because the game I'm going to compare it to also got really good reviews. But the public, it's Mario. It's, to me, I got bored of Super Mario Brothers Wii by like the third world. I was like,
dude, I didn't even make it that far.
By third world, I mean like I don't even know if it's a third actual world. Like I don't even know. Like it wasn't far. Let's put it that way. I think I put it in my Wii like twice and was like, I'm just bored. It seems like pretty basic levels. I don't like any of the new stuff they really added. The co-op's fun, but I felt there's more variety in like Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario World. And I was like, I don't. Whatever. Rayman is the opposite of that. That's like it's added so much shit. The platforming, it's so cool, so fun. It's not necessarily innovative, but it's something that feels fresh. Whereas, like I said, reviews are kind of like similar. Like, it got good reviews, but the market, the audience, the gamers are not going to give Rayman a pass because they don't know what it is. Or it's like, hey, Rayman. Yeah. Part of that could really be Ubisoft's fault for being like fucking pushing Raving Rabbids in our face for the past like,
no
five
kidding.
Years
no
or six
kidding.
Years. But that's something that I was like, okay, well, dude, Super Mario Brothers Wii right now is still $60.
Yep.
Still.
50 here, but it's the same.
Yeah, 50 here.
Right? With the dollar.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. Like, it's, and it, even the one on DS, I had fun with it. I beat it. Again, I didn't think it was, I thought it was a step back from 3 and Mario World, but. It's still got amazing reviews. It got some tens.
I gotta admit, New Super Mario Brothers for the DS, I played the living shit out of that game. I loved that game.
I can't say I loved it.
I loved it. I did. And it was probably because it was so long since I had a traditional Mario.
That's why. Nostalgia was like, exactly.
I wanted that traditional Mario. That's what it was. And that's what it gave me. When the Wii one came out, well, I had it already. And, you know, I seriously got to world like 2-2 and I was pretty much done.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to, you know, controls. It's like, I don't want to waggle to make the helicopter thing go off. I don't want to do that. You know, give me the option. Let me use a control pad. Yeah. I understand you wanting to, you know, implement this new control scheme that you've, you know, use this new control scheme that you've brought out, but you know, make it optional. Not everybody wants to use it. You know, I just want to play your games. That's all I want to do. I want to play your games and I want to love your games like I did when I was fucking 12.
It's fucking another game I could bring up. See, I hate it. It sounds like the hate on Nintendo, hate on Bethesda, because neither of us really hate on either. We love Bethesda and Nintendo. Like Mario Kart on DS. Game's awesome. In fact, that's my favorite Mario Kart game of all time.
Yeah,
I'll just say it. I fucking love it. Like overall,
but the
it's
Wii
amazing.
One?
Online?
Oh, okay.
What?
Okay.
The one on DS. I haven't played the new one. Great game. Online was a bitch and a half to set up with your friends and do anything else. That game got ridiculously good reviews. Half the reviews these days, if the game has multiplayer and doesn't work quite the way it should, it gets docked.
It gets destroyed. It gets destroyed.
Yeah.
And apparently, I will say that apparently Mario Kart 7 improved a lot of that shit.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I think you only have like one-time code, or you have like group codes.
Yeah,
something like that.
And now apparently you can join games from your friends list after the new update or something like that. So you know they're taking steps, but
they're working on it.
The point is that Nintendo definitely gets a pass. They definitely get a pass.
Yeah, they do.
And in many of those cases, it may not be fair. And I don't like when it comes to like these control issues that I've been having with Zelda. I personally do not think it's fair that they get this pass. So.
Yeah, I gotcha. I think realistically, there's probably about 5 developers that get passes, and I'm just gonna go off the top of my head. I'm gonna be like, there's Nintendo, first party Nintendo games. I'll go Naughty Dog, Bungie, Bethesda, BioWare. I think those are the top 5 companies that get like pretty much passes and stuff that people don't do. But I mean,
and Call of Duty.
I don't know. So Activision.
I don't think they do anything really wrong. All those games are pretty
They don't do anything
solid.
Wrong.
Well,
they do it well.
Here's the thing. Yeah. They either
That's
get a pass for the more of the same thing, or everyone else is getting screwed because of the more of the same thing. So, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. But I will say, though, like, as much as that being said, they're still leading that area, so it's like everyone's still trying to be the new Call of Duty. Whether it's the newest one to one before that, I think that's why they kind of get that pass, because no one does quite match that. That could come down to popularity, though, not to how like good the game is. But I see what you're saying. I think they do too, because a lot of media outlets will say like, "Well, here comes the next Call of Duty game; it's gonna be the same thing." But hey, review time 9.0. So yeah, I see what you're saying. It's that's kind of tough though, because I agree with Travis. Because what they do really fucking
well.
These games are solid.
I don't disagree with that.
They're not... Yeah, it's not like they're cashing in. Like, yeah, they are cashing in, but they're at least putting in somewhat of an effort. Like, they're cashing in literally because they're making a shitload of money. But they're not just like... they're not half-assing it. I really don't... Because it's still one dev every 2 years. It's like, it's... Eh. It's kind of... That's the kind of... I think they... Infinity Ward and Treyarch, they're like... right on the fence of getting the pass and not getting the pass. Like, because from the... Well, I was going to say from the consumer standpoint, they don't get a pass, but yeah. What's up, 475 billion gazillion dollars?
That's like Oprah money. So
I don't know.
That's like big time
money. Seriously. Nah, I don't know.
Anyway, is that it?
That is it.
I'm
good.
I think so. It's not fair. It happens.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. It's a gray area.
It depends.
Area.
Exactly. But you know what? I think the same thing can be said about anything. I think some movie directors and actors get free passes for shit they do. I think it happens in every industry. I think
once you make it
in the public, and once you do one thing that's awesome, everything like M. Night Shyamalan, anyone
makes one fucking good movie.
Like, well, not anymore, because he's done about 5 turds in a fucking
steamers, man.
Yeah, there are some big fucking steamers.
The latest being the worst of them.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it. I'm sure it was
balls nasty.
It was Airbender.
No,
wasn't it
the latest Last Airbender? Last Airbender was a piece of garbage.
Dude. Yeah, I haven't seen it. The Happening was pretty stinky.
The Happening was bad, but the Happening was. Wasn't The Happening before Airbender?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it was.
Yeah, Airbender was just oh man, they basically took a series, a cartoon series that was outstanding, and turned it to shit. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. But yeah, The Happening was really, really bad too. It's like, I couldn't even finish watching
Nickelback it. Made one good album. Oh, wait a second. Never mind.
All right. Should we move on?
Why not?
Yeah. All right.
Well, I would say new releases, but there's really nothing coming out next week.
There's
DLC for Assassin's Creed, Battlefield, Gears of War, and Pinball FX2. And that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Your Android users, get your Tencent apps.
Yeah, Android. So that's something we never talked about. Google is celebrating 10 billion downloads. So they're doing 10 days of
Holy
10-cent
crap.
Apps. So,
and they are awesome. These are legit, like $5, $6, $7.
Unfortunately,
apps.
It's going to run out after 8 days because that's all they have.
What's that?
So. Never mind.
Steve Jobs fanboy over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Steve Jobs. All my Apple products. All one of them. That's 4 years old.
Actually, you know what, Jeff? It's funny because they predict that the Android market will have more apps than the App Store by end of fiscal year.
Well, quantity definitely goes over quantity or quality.
Wasn't like a week or two ago you were talking about how awesome the iPod was the iPhone was because it had more apps?
I never said it wasn't hitting your
habits. Okay, I just want to be sure. And that was a more rhetoric than anything. You didn't have to answer that question.
All right.
I really don't care.
Let's do, we don't have any regular emails. So do we have, you said, yeah, we have an Indus question or two?
We have one Indus question from our good buddy, Jeff, by the way.
What's up, by the way?
He says,
BT Dub.
He says, at what point do you set up your Christmas decorations?
Mine are up.
P.S. Jeff is awesome, not hypocrite, and fucking Apple.
Wow, that's so ironic.
I will say part of that is not true. It's a Christmas decorations part, so anyway, we can move on. Nobody does ask, at what point do you set up your Christmas decorations?
For us, it's when we have time. It really is, because we just happened to, I think it was last weekend when we put them up, and we just happened to have some time, and we were just like, all right, let's just do the Christmas decorations. Let's get it over with. So we put them up, and you know, they're up. So there you go. All
right.
Yeah, Megan tries to, like, pull on these traditions that she did from her previous family.
Like, back in the day.
It's
not her family anymore. It was her previous family.
Travis stole her.
So,
her previous family.
So said tradition was day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's the way my mom does it, too.
Yeah, Christmas lights go up. Very traditional. Nice. And she could not get me off of Skyrim to do that.
Way to be a good husband there, Travis.
Christmas decorations. What's the point? Come on. What is the point?
The point is to make your wife happy.
When you get older,
be festive,
okay,
your wife asked you to do something with her.
No, I'm talking about the decorations in general. I'm not saying doing things with her.
Didn't enjoy.
Okay, but like, I'm just saying, like, it's just, once you get older, I think you start to realize how more of a bullshit holiday Christmas is. I don't know. Am I the only one?
Wow. What's up, Rach?
Am I the only one?
Hey, Scrooge. How's that business
going? We talked about this already. I actually like Christmas, like the actual, like, Christmas day and stuff. I actually like that. And like maybe the day after, but the lead up to it is now stressful just because of age, how much responsibility.
Exactly.
Because
that's
I wouldn't say it's bullshit.
Pricks, you know? Everybody's
their
highest level of pricktivity. It's at this moment right now. But I love.
So it's Christmas for you like every day, apparently.
Basically. Christmas Day, though, is great. Like, you made a great point. Christmas Day, awesome. Rocking, chilling with family, drinking some eggnog, and which I don't even like. It's weird. So, but anyway. Hey,
Here's one thing that I just wanted to mention really quick about this. It's like, you guys are saying that it's very stressful and stuff like that. And for the past, like, 3 years or so, 3 or 4 years, Crystal and I have done, like, homemade gifts. And we have some friends that do that a lot, too. And it makes it a lot less stressful. It's like you get to.
Oh, that's not that doesn't stress me out, the shopping, really. It's the traveling around, visiting families and stuff like leading up to it and stuff. It's like,
I can see that.
Constantly on the move, basically. Not a lot of time to rest.
Oh, I'm with you there. We do Christmas Eve with my family, Christmas Day at home, Or I'm sorry, Christmas morning at home, Christmas day at her family, and then Christmas evening at my family again. So yeah, we're kind of all over the place.
But it's fun. It's just stressful, but fun.
Go ahead, Travis. What do you got?
I actually do have one email. Namishin kind of.
I'm not gonna answer that question.
Namishin snuck one in last week and everything.
Wow.
He said, "Heyo." He says, "Hey, it's your favorite listener who is not white." It's Namishin 186. I thought I'd do you guys a favor.
Travis wrote
the
in.
End of the year and almost time for the goatee talk. Sometime in September, I was feeling really sick and decided to pass the time by listening to your 2010 Game of the Year episode. So during it, I heard now Game Informer fame Jason talk about how you should really reformat how the Game of the Year categories were done. So I'm here to help you halfway there by listing every 2011 release game that you guys have played and mentioned on the show.
I took the time to list every game
that a member of Indus has played and separated from whether they are on a console, whether they are console exclusives or multi-platform.
Holy shit.
This list has only been updated to episode 206, so if anyone gets Zelda Skyward Sword or if Jeff buys Rayman Origins, it won't be on the list.
Yes.
Hope this helps you guys for the Goaty Talk. Can't wait to hear it. Wow, that is a crazy list.
Crazy.
I just want to see.
Well, we never put anything on there. We never played anyway.
Wow,
so.
That is really, really crazy. So we're gonna have to use this list. So before we, I guess, off the air, talk about that awesome list that he made. Thank you, by the way. He does have a couple of postscripts. He says, "Jeff, don't forget to nominate Vanquish for your best 2010 game that you played in 2011." Winky face.
I didn't play it in 2011. I played it last year. Did I play it this year?
I think you might have.
You played it this year.
I think you played it this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really? I'll have to check my achievements list, see what I got.
Yeah, check those Chivos.
Wow, that's crazy. If that was this fucking year, that's crazy. I could have sworn.
Whoa,
it was
that was fast. Are you
is
on
pretty
your
sure?
fucking Xbox right now?
No. I didn't say, I said I'm pretty positive.
Oh, well, you
just
sounded like
year.
You checked it really, really fast. And I was like, whoa.
Oh, no. I said I should. I'm like, because I remember putting it on my Game of the Year list last year. Maybe I didn't.
I think it was on, it was on our Game of the Year list, but only two people had to play it to get it on there. Or something like that. That's the way we did it.
I'm gonna seriously check that shit
And
out.
We do have one, this next postscript, super big call out. Do you realize you guys said you're going to do a spoiler show for a bunch of games and never did? And he lists them, Infamous 2, Catherine, Bastion, Deus Ex, Batman, and Uncharted 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sorry. Because we get really excited and we want to talk about it, and by the time we get a chance to, it's like we've moved on to something else. It's like, I'd love to spoil the shit out of some of the Uncharted stuff that we loved, but I'm kind of playing Skyrim right now, so...
Next week... Spoiler palooza. Spoil. We're going to spoil all the old games. Not really.
Cool. Well, thank you, Namishin, for that list. It is ridiculous. Jeff, I know that you probably didn't see it. I'll have to send it to you. It's crazy.
I got to know how long that took. That's crazy.
Listening to all of the old shows from 2011? Hell yeah, dude.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. All right, let's move on.
All right.
Question of the week.
Yo.
Do we have one?
I think we do.
Are we doing it?
Let's do it. Fuck it.
I say
VGAs,
fuck it
guys. VGAs. How did you think? I thought it was awesome, to be honest with you. I thought they were great.
See, I thought they completely sucked. I'm completely in the other camp.
Completely other camp.
I'm completely
I thought it was classy. I thought it was well done.
Classy.
I thought it was great, you know? Not a fat guy in sight. It was all...
The VGAs will never
be really nice. Yeah,
not as long as they're on Spike TV, they won't.
Yeah. Cliffy B wore a tux. It was gorgeous.
When the UFC is leaving Spike TV, that tells you something.
Yeah.
Wow. So there you have it. Let us know what you guys thought of the VGAs. What won and what you think should have won, that kind of thing.
Or what you think overall? How have they been doing?
Are they improving?
They backtracking?
Over last year?
Did they get a free pass?
Did they get a free pass? Did they get a free pass because they're the only video game awards out there right now?
Yeah, exactly.
So send your emails for this question of the week to email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
If you're on Twitter, you can follow us. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F.
Yep, that's Jeff.
check out our Facebook page. That is Interactive Distractions podcast. Also, check us out on Google Plus. Just search for Interactive Distractions, and you will find us. And I think that's about Steam. Interactive Distractions on Steam as well. So, you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
Jeff, by the way, I don't put on my Christmas decorations anymore because the cat needs to tear them down. So, we don't put them up anymore because, she rips them down while we're putting them up, so we don't do it. Just to get back to your question, I was like,
hey, Jeff, didn't you have something else that you wanted to mention?
Interrupted. I did, actually. In regards to the Goatee show we're going to do a listener one this year. So what you guys can start doing now is write into Interactive Distractions, the regular
email at Interactive Distractions.
Email Interactive Distractions, your top three picks for your favorite game of the year. Do not rank them. Don't even put in your email like number one, two, and three. Just write in, just have your name on there, your top three games, and then what we're going to do is we're going to tally them up, and we're going to make a top like 5 to 7 list, and then we're going to have an overall vote where out of that 7 or 5, whoever gets the most votes wins Game of the Year. So we're going to do that on the same episode that we decide our Game of the Year. So we want to get you guys involved, and we want to get this started early so we get a lot of submissions and a good variety of games in there. So you can start doing that at any point after listening.
That's right. Cool. I did have one thing I wanted to mention for you, Jeff, because we were talking about reviews and Rayman Origins and stuff like that. I'm on Amazon.com just looking at Rayman. And Amazon has a special – it's a standard with Amazon exclusive art book. That's what they've got listed. I checked all three platforms, and there are 31 total customer reviews for all three platforms. Every single one of them is 5 stars. 31 reviews.
Yeah,
every
great.
Single one of them is 5 stars.
So good.
That's
good. Hopefully
that's impressive. That is impressive. So you can bet that I will be picking this game up at one point or another because I am looking – I have been really itching for a good, straight-up, sprite-based 2D platformer, and it looks like this might be the one. So,
hopefully. Just an update to Navishin's thing. I actually got Vanquish in 2010. I didn't beat it until 2011, so now I'd be on the fence.
All right.
Cool story.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review.
5 stars. Or 1 if you're a dick.
until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
Play your games.
And I might be wrong. I might have gotten February. Ah! I hate this shit with dates. I'll figure it out. Now we should all get back
to you. And we'll talk to you next week.